Our nation takes the time to pause for a period of time to be thankful. And this morning we address the idea of being thankful to whom? Thankful to the God above. Amen? Amen. Thankful for the great I am. And tonight our lesson title is simply thankful for what I have. What do I have? I have a God who has salvation, a God who has rescue ready, a God who has peace and protection and patience, people. Tonight, with these things in mind, as we examine the text, I want to take you back to Exodus. Exodus chapter 13 is where we will begin with this idea of simply being thankful for what I have. I have a God who has salvation. We read here, after the children of Israel had been in Egypt and the plagues had been completed, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war, and then they would return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up orderly in the ranks out of the land of Egypt. Now, God did not send, by the way, this God who had saved them from having been slaves in Egypt, he didn't send them the easy route when they came out of the land of Egypt. They left Goshen, and they didn't go the easy way, the northern way, which would take them by the land of the Philistines. No, he took them in the way that he would have them to go for his own reason. And when we look at what we see within the page of the word concerning us today, we can find some similarity. You see, God has provided for us salvation that we would come out of the land of being slaves to sin and to follow him, and we would, as we followed him, that the world would say, well, now it would make sense to go in just one direction. And that direction would simply be in belief. Now, we know that it's foundational to Christianity to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We can see that as Matthew brings it forth and records for us in chapter 16, beginning at verse. There we read these words. To them, but who do you say that I am? Speaking to the disciples there, the question had been asked, who do men say that I am? And now Jesus is pointing that question at those who were following him. Simon Peter spoke up. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It was obvious. They believed and confessed that Jesus is the Son of God. But not a belief like we find in James chapter 2 and verse 19. There we find that the demons believe and tremble. As a matter of fact, Matthew once again points out for us an example of this very thing as he records for us this instance in the life of Jesus. In chapter 8, we go down to verse 28. And when he was come to the other side of the country of Gerasenes, there he met with him two possessed devils, coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, Son of God? Even the demons know who he is. Even they recognize him. They asked, are you come to torment us? And as we continue reading, those demons who had identified who Jesus was, indeed were trembling, afraid. What have you come to do? And then as we continue to read, Jesus cast them into a herd of swine that were nearby, and they run off a steep hill or steep place into the sea. There is more to faith, my friend, than simply recognizing God's power. It's about responding to his love, being thankful for the salvation that we hold in our hands means that we're going to respond to his call. He calls us the same way that he preached those things as we read in Mark chapter 2 and verse 17. He calls us to confess him. As we read earlier in Matthew chapter 16, he also calls us to baptism. We see that in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Why? For the remission of sin, Acts chapter 38. Having those sins washed away, Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Indeed, the faithful are so thankful, and the thankful are hopeful, and the hopeful are rewarded, is what we see in Revelation 2 and verse 10. Those who live faithful will receive that crown of life. But the devil doesn't want you to be faithful. He doesn't want you to be thankful. He doesn't want you to be hopeful. He wants you to doubt and be discouraged. He wants you to stare at the trouble in front of you and be afraid. He wants you to assume that there is no reason to be thankful because nothing you have equates to what anyone else has. And so you simply should not be thankful. That is what the devil wants us to believe. He wants us to give up on the blessings that we have and give up on the mighty God. That's what he would have us to do. God, on the other hand, old plan he could never possibly imagine. God has a rescue ready. Look what Exodus, and we'll go to chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land, and the wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart, so that he will pursue them. And I, watch this, will gain honor over Pharaoh, over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Three major ideas from these verses. First of all, it looks like the children of Israel would be set up for trouble. Because instead of going the easy way, they're going a more difficult way. And we see that God has told them that trouble is going to be coming. They're going to be hardened against you. But God says, number two, that I will gain much honor because of Pharaoh and what he does. And number three, the whole world will know that I am the Ye God, the only God. Out of all. Now, when we think on these things, I'd like for you to notice, if you can see this map, and I didn't bring a pointer with me, but if you can see this map, and there's some red arrows that start up here about where the land of Goshen would be, which would be this corner right here. And to the best of many of the theologians that I have read from and studied, it would look like the path would bring them down to this area right here. Now, this, you probably can't read it, but there's a word up there, Migdol, okay? Migdol is not necessarily simply a place, but it is a name for watchtower. So when there's a watchtower, there's generally a settlement around it. And the reason why I bring that up is because there are all kinds of different kinds of ideas as to where they would have come through. But this one seems to follow along with most of the ideas that we find within the text. We see them crossing the Red Sea right there at the top. This whole area is called the Red Sea. The left leg in that side, that fork, would be what we would call the Gulf of Suez today. The other side would be the Aqaba. And so it would look like that they would come through here and then come down in Sinai, being in this region right here. So with those things in mind, we can have an idea of what was happening here, the direction that they went. But there's another thought that I wanted to leave with you. We're talking about 4 million plus people. 4 million plus people. I've heard that would say that some would have studied, there could have been 4 to 6 between there somewhere. Now think with me about this when you want to try to get that picture in your mind, because I can't. That's almost 10 times the number of people in the city of Atlanta. The population being around somewhere in 485,000, almost 10 times the number of people in the city of Atlanta on foot and on animal, walking from the city of Atlanta to Carrollton, 50 miles. That's about what we're talking about, moving that number of people all along that way. Now, someone might look at me and say, as you were considering these things, why is it that we're going to find that as we continue reading, the Egyptians nowhere to follow them to, since they didn't go on the easy route? Because 5, and see, trouble is going to be right behind them. Now, it was told the king of Egypt that the children, or that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this? We have let Israel go from serving us." Now imagine Atlanta being a ghost town now. Goshen, empty. "Why have we done this? Why have we let Israel go from serving us?" So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Now look at this number of folks that he took with him. 100 choice chariots. And all the chariots of Egypt with over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and all the chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea of Pihahiroth. We'll just go there. And before Baal Zephron. Now think with me. They've already had a head start. And I found this interesting to read. And someone made a comparison like this. Since they didn't go the easy way, and they went a more difficult way, what would tip the Egyptians off which way? Have you ever been on a trip with somebody or somebodies, maybe 4 or 5 in a car? And when you get through with the trip, the evidence that's left in the car of the trip, you've always got to clean the car out, right? So do you think 4 people left a little evidence which way they went? That just was one of those things along the way that I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. There would have been no doubt which way he should go to follow. There's evidence of this heavy traffic, evidence of those people there. And the Egyptians are now, and as old Barney Fife would say, in hot pursuit. Let's look down at verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near, The children of Israel lifted up their eyes. Behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children cried to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us out here to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in this wilderness. Now these are the same folks who had just recently seen the plagues brought on Egypt. These are the same folks who had witnessed the marvels of the mighty God. And now, the moment they hear the chariots coming, they say it would have been better for us to have stayed. Do now we see when God mentioned earlier, if they had seen war, what would have happened? Remember, we looked at this morning the idea that Paul told Timothy that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. The devil wanted them to forget that the whole world would know that he is the Lord God. He wanted them to be fearful. He wanted them to be confused. And then we see Moses making a statement that is foundational to what we find in our text in Psalm 46. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel and go forward. Lift up your rod and stretch your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground, the sea, and through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. Now watch, here we go again. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. Moses bringing these words. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See what the Lord will accomplish for you this day. Folks, we must be thankful for the mighty God who has salvation, who has rescue ready. This same God who has peace, protection, and patience for us. Look with me, if you will, at Exodus chapter 17. Go a little further. In Exodus 17, the first seven verses there. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and they camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, why is it that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me. And then the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand your rod, which you struck in the river, and go. And behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, and the people will drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Can you imagine? Well, wait a minute. Even though you and I know that the Lord God is among us, still, when God does things His way, we struggle. We struggle. I've often heard it said that if God would lead you to it, that He would lead you through it. But it's easy to forget about that and forget to be thankful when we're in the midst of our own storms. We need to remember to look to God, who knows our every need, and to let God be God, for He will be. While we're thinking on these things, let's go a little further. We've been thinking of the children of Israel needing this water and to be thankful for the mighty God. Go with me to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. This is a long read right here. Numbers chapter 20. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month. And the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if we had only died when our brethren died before the Lord, you brought the Lord into this wilderness, that we come and our animals should die here. And why have you made us come up to this evil place? Drink. In the presence of the assembly of meeting, they fell on their face and appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take your rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. Now the water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me. Because you did not believe me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and He was hallowed among them. You know, we find here that Moses was frustrated with the people. He had forgotten his own words, stand still and let the Lord take control. The God of the Bible has salvation. He has rescue at the ready. He brings peace, protection, and He has patience for His people. And as we think on these things tonight, we have looked at what He brought to us within the pages of His Word and what He has told. The question is, am I simply thankful for the great I am? I want to take you all the way back where Noah was reading earlier, our foundational text for the evening. Turn with me all the way back to Psalm 46. no matter our frustration, no matter our trouble in this life, we need to remember to be thankful for the God who is still always in control. We read Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, through its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there's a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob, our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot with fire. Again, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Simply being thankful for the I am. Simply being thankful means that I'm going to demonstrate that. If I'm truly thankful, I'm going to demonstrate that by obeying the things that he has provided for us that we might be able to get to heaven. We talked about that earlier. He's provided for us salvation. Are you thankful for that? I certainly hope so. I hope that if you find yourself distanced from God for any reason, you would not wait, but be his now as together we stand and sing.